lovey-dovey who always wants to be near me and never cheat on me, you fucking asshole. You better be there in 20 minutes, or a fucking rock is going through your landlord's fucking window. And if you ain't there, I don't care. If your landlord lets me in, I'm throwing away every hour that you're gone. I'm throwing away all your answering magazines, all your letters, destroying your house. And this ain't gonna be a fun night for you, boy, because I'm not in a good mood. And I'm destroying everything you fucking own. So you can even have the cops there, because I'm not gonna play quiet when you're not there. In 20 minutes, you're having a rock through your fucking window. And if your fucking landlord doesn't answer the phone, or it lets me in, then I'm throwing and destroying every single possession you own. So be there in 20 minutes or get fucked.
Once again, beating on your undeserving eardrums,
it's Radio Like You Want!
With your host, Mike Routier,
and Flag the Ripper.
Hello, Mondonsky residents.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are joined in the studio tonight by Spice Awesome, Spike Slauson himself.
I can't wait till next week when our guest will be Spike Slauson. Oh, wait, he's here right now.
Spice Awesome, he's come for a preview. In our world, he's here after, but in your world, he's here before he's been here.
Yeah.
Spike,
this is one of those, like, lost episodes.
I'm a mess.
This is Radio Like You Want. We are back on the attack. And I tell you what, folks, this week we have a man of vision, a man of valor, the one and only
Jim Goad.
How about that one?
And I told him I was going to edit this to make him sound even more insane than he really is, so...
We gave it our best shot. Didn't quite work out, but we're going to run it anyway.
The wife-beating, country music-loving freak. Oh, I shouldn't say wife-beating.
Or he's freak. Or country. Yeah, oh, he does love country.
He'll beat anyone. And he's known for violence, mindlessness, and yet he's one of America's greatest writers, one of the world's greatest writers, in my opinion. Jim Goad, so you're really in for a treat this week.
Hey, Blag, back people up on the knowledge here. Who's not familiar with Jim Goad? Greatest hits, let's go.
The author of the Redneck Manifesto.
Spike, chime in.
He made a classic magazine in the 1990s called Answer Me that took on issues like rape and racism and violence. We got a little heavy this week on radio. Like,
yeah, you went deep into the conversation.
We asked some dirty questions. There's all kinds of stuff. So if you're easily offended, you're going to have to step the fuck off Radio Like You Want this week, because we are bringing you.
We are going to start out with something that's a little more uplifting before we delve down into Jim Goad's world. This is Joey Ramone with A Wonderful World.
On Radio Like You Want. Bitch!
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I see to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies blue.
say nobody has anything to fear from us. But we are going to control you now.
Globetrotter, spanning the nine continents of the globe to bring you the finest in punk rock and garbage music.
It's the United Nations of Noise, the International Brotherhood of Rock and Roll, of Kumbaya, of Chaos and Carnage.
So join us now, live from Points Unknown, as we bring you
Globetrotter. Mike Routhier, where the fuck are we going this week?
All the way over the mysterious land of Barcelona. This is a crazy little number that, what's it called again? Oh, yeah, it's called
Haciendo el Hostias en el Marquis by Vigilante Gitano from Destruido.
Set, we heard our Globetrotter.
Haciendo el Hostias en el Marquis by Vigilante Gitano from Destruido.
Sado Nation before that, Portland's Finest on Whom They Beat from the Sado Nation 7-inch 1980. That's one of our big Jim Goad, our guest this week. One of his faves. Joey Ramone before that, What a Wonderful Life. That lightens things up, Blag. That gets us in the mood to be able to handle the Goad routine.
Okay, people are going to hate us after this, but that's what Jim Goad is all about.
Just
Answer Me
women,
Magazine.
Blacks, people on the bus, workers.
That's right.
Everybody. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Pretty much everyone. Jim Goad is one of my favorite people on this planet because, let's face it, he's just finding an excuse for why he hates everyone. And
do you really need an excuse?
Yeah, I guess you do. You know, it's like he's got to justify it.
He thinks it out. That's one thing that's nice about Goat. He like really thinks like, why? Why?
Right. Why does everybody suck? And why am I miserable?
He doesn't just blanket it over.
That's right.
He explores the why of the suckness.
Jim Goad is feeling life. But to be honest with you here, this man is our generation's H.L. Mencken, our Mark Twain. I can't say enough about the brilliance of Jim Goad. Don't laugh, because this man, he is a sicker, more demented Twain for our time, except he's trawling the highways and byways of our depravity and sickness, Mike.
On the Mississippi River, maybe?
Perhaps.
Last week, we talked to the folks from 1234 Go Records. They are re-releasing the Dix Hate Police 7-inch. Let's take a little listen. What do you say?
On Radio 921!
Oh, no.
Tell a story about something that happened to me. I was sitting home just the other day watching some TV when there was a knock on my door, and I went to the door to see who it was, and it was a woman with no eyes, and she had a stack full of comic books, and she gave me one of them, and she said, "Take it and read." And I took it and I did read, and the story was so moving and compelling that I had to write a song about it. It wasn't one of your regular comic books. Rather, it was one of those comic books by Chick Publications out in California, one of those comic books that's meant to convert you to fundamental Christianity. And it was a story about a family, and a father's name, his name was Lisa's father. And the mother's name, her name was Lisa's mother. And then there was a child, a five-year-old child named Lisa. Lisa, pure as the driven snow, but she was driven in other ways as well. I'll tell you about that later. Lisa's mother was an alcoholic. She used to sit and knock back JB from 8 o'clock in the morning till she passed out at midnight. Lisa's father, however, he was a sinner of another sort. He was a sinner of a different color, if you know what I'm talking about. He was the kind of man who didn't keep his sinning to himself. Because he was a child molester. This was a man who abused his little daughter, Lisa, every night, every afternoon, every morning. As soon as Lisa's mother was whacked out on JD, he'd go up into Lisa's bedroom, and he'd start wailing away on this poor little kid. Making that sound going, oh, waka, 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 baby, 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 having a good time, yeah, yeah. And one day he was up there doing what it was he did to that poor little girl. When there was a knock on his front door, he tucked in his shirt and he ran down, pulled up his pants and answered the door quick as he could, and he said, "Oh, who's there?"
"Hi, this is Bill, your neighbor."
"Oh, hi!
Hi,
how you doing?
Father.
How's the weather?
pointed a finger at Lisa's father. And she said,
"You repulsive little shit, I hate you, I hate you."
And Lisa's father said, "Whoa, whoa, I'm in the soup now, she knows when I'm at the window late." He ran out that door as fast as he could. He started making his way down, to the bridge, just like James Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life. He was gonna throw some off that bridge. And just then, a woman with no eyes and a handful of comic books walked up to him in a comic book. Just like the woman in my... And she gave him a comic book and she said,
"Just pray."
Just pray is what she said. And the next panel said,
15 minutes later,
he said, "Whoa, I feel excellent. I'm gonna go home and tell Lisa's mother about this play and stuff." And he said, he ran home and he said, "Hey, Lisa's mother, listen to this." And she said,
"I hate you, I hate you, repulsive."
He said, "Whoa, shut up, you old cow. Listen to this, try up and pray."
Pray.
And what did it say?
15 minutes later,
she says,
"I feel great."
And Lisa's father says, "Let's call Lisa and tell her what's happening around here." They call her Lisa. Lisa's a little scared. She doesn't like dancing, but you can understand. She says, they say, "Hey, Lisa, we got some good news for you. We're never gonna hurt you. Never gonna hurt you anymore." And Lisa says,
"Oh, really?"
This is what I'm giving you since. It's the lady saving you. This is what I'm giving you since. It's the lady saving you.
Yo, 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 Radio Like You Want, this is John Gentile from Philly, staff writer at punknews.org, and like every week, I'm back to bring you some new punk rock tunes. Today, we're going to do something a little different. There's a video on the internet that's been blowing up all over, particularly over at punknews.org. It's a video called My First Hardcore Song. I guess the twist is it's by an 8-year-old Australian little girl named Juliet. In the tune, she sings about how much she loves her beagle named Robert and how much she loves her goldfish. This is My First Hardcore Song by 8-year-old Juliet.
To playing 8-year-olds on this show, for Christ's sakes. John Gentile, what the hell are you doing to us over here? John Gentile from punknews.org sent us that one. Juliet, all the way from Australia, my first hardcore song. Evidently, people over at punknews.org got nothing better to do than watch that video on YouTube.
Well, he must have known of my weakness for 8-year-old girls, of course, and ones from Australia, hey, it's even better.
Alice Donut. Before that, Lisa's Father. Blag, this band is a classic out of New York. That's their 1989 classic, Buckets Full of Sickness and Horror.
They were the live band to see for several years. They weren't they on Alternative Tentacles? Am I remembering correctly?
You are remembering correctly,
sir. Alice Donut all the time live. They always brought the noise live. What's happened? Why don't you give us a call? Let us know, America. 415-315-9662. Tell me what's really going on. Whatever happened to Alice Donut?
Got Spike Slauson in here. Spike, what is really going on?
What's going on is grueling bullshit.
Whoa. Gruel and bullshit together?
Gruel and bullshit in moderation.
Well, moderation is a major trait of our guest coming up tonight, Jim Goat. He does everything in moderation, right, Black?
That's right. He's a very mellow fellow. He just likes to sit around with his pug and reminisce about when he was in Godspell as a child. Jim Goat.
Resume. Let's hit it.
Redneck Manifesto, Answer Me. And, of course, now you can catch him on TakiMag.com.
All right, we got a very Goatian tune coming up here. Here's Fred Green, Wham! Slam! Bam! From 1959. And then we're going straight into the interview right here on Radio.
Like you want.
We have the editor and the assistant editor of a magazine called Answer Me, Jim and Debbie Goad. Here they are.
Come on. Let's go. Come on. Bring it on.
All right, Jim, hold on a minute. Quiet in the audience. Now, you are the editor, Jim Goad, and your wife, Debbie, is the assistant editor. Now, this is a filthy, raunchy magazine.
Thank you, Wally.
The whole thing is called Answer Me. I have an answer for you. Get lost and get out of business. You know what? I read this magazine, and these people are the armpit of journalism. Now, you know...
That's right, Wally, and you're the anus of broadcast.
Jim Goad, you can catch him on Tacky Mag. You can pick up the Redneck Manifesto, Shit Magnet, old copies of Answer Me, and whatever else you can find by the master. And the book Shit Magnet, there's sort of a fecal tsunami around you, Jim, I think it's fair to say.
Oh, yeah. Weird from day one.
Jim wrote about a misguided love affair that he had with a young lady that wound up with him assaulting her pretty severely and him winding up doing several years in the penitentiary.
We're going to talk about my criminal criminal conviction. This girl, I had a restraining order against her. I have documented, recorded. I've got an MP3 on my website of her threatening to cut my nipples off, chop my head off, blow my fucking brains out in the universe. I've surveyed the perimeter of your house. I'm going to throw a fucking rock through. You better fucking be there. What are you at, fucking here? Yeah, I just got the restraining order. Fuck you. Tell the cops to come and pick me up because I can't stay away from you. I'm going to have to be in jail again and again. Tons of fucking evidence. There's no evidence of me ever threatening her. My blood was found on her. When they arrest you for assault, they check your hands for scrapes and cuts. There were none. You look at my mugshot. My face is all scratched up. When I was done with the beating, I went over to Debbie's house. I stuck a Q-tip up my nose and I pulled it down and said, look how bloody. This all started when she punched me in the nose and I saw my own blood and freaked out. The thing is, if you had taken my genitals off, put them on her, and switched, if I had pursued her and threatened her, she wound up blowing my fucking head off. Nobody'd have a problem with it. So, yeah, I think radical feminism has a point where these situations are not viewed equitably. She got 2 months in jail for running somebody over with her car. Now, people are upset against the guy hitting a chick because of the size differential. Well, in reality, I was 2 inches taller than her and 30 pounds more than her. She fucking ran over a 150-pound guy with a 4,000-pound car. Where's the outrage?
Do you ever think about, like, going out with a girl who was, I don't know, sane on some level?
I don't feel bad about beating up that girl. I only feel bad that I did so much time for it.
Marion and Wanda were the best of friends all through the high school days. Both members of the 4-H club, both active in the FFA. After graduation, Marion went looking for a bright new world. Wanda looked all around this town and all she found was Earl. Well, it wasn't 2 weeks after she got married that Wanda started getting abused. She put on dark glasses and long sleeve blouses and makeup to cover up bruise. Well, she finally got the nerve to file for a divorce. She let the law take it from there. But Earl walked right through that restraining order and put her in intensive care. To die. Goodbye, Earl. You're feeling weak. Why don't you lay down and sleep, Earl? The cops, they came to bring her in. They searched the house high and low. And they tipped their hats and said, thank you, ladies. If you hear from them, let us know. Well, the weeks went by. Spring turned to summer, so my fate ended too. Turns out he was a missing person and nobody missed at all. So the girls bought some land in a roadside stand on Highway 109. They sell Tennessee ham and strawberry jam and they don't lose any sleep at night. Cause Earl had to die. Goodbye, Earl. We need a break. Let's go out to the lake.
Jim, what is the greatest misconception people have about the penitentiary?
Well, the disclaimer I always put in front of this is Oregon we're talking about, so who the fuck knows? It could be Donnie the Punk style everywhere else, but...
Donnie the Punk being the famous punk rocker that got fucked up his ass in prison for...
Died of AIDS from being fucked in the ass in prison and everything. Right. But that's, I mean, what's hilarious to me, and that was one of the things that points I tried to make in the rape issue, is like, you know, rape, ain't rape, and people would gasp. Would think funny when it would happen to convicts. It's like, well, is it wrong? Is there something I'm missing? If it's wrong, it's always wrong. Yes?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I would think, yeah. You know, Donnie the Punk, he had this whole organization, Stop Prisoner Rape. He did the spreadsheet. He thought he proved that more males are victimized by rape every year than females. But again, this guy got raped. According to him, 65 times the first weekend he was in D.C. County Jail. So I have no reason to disbelieve him. But in 2.5 years in the Oregon system, 7.5 of that in county jail, and from maximum state penitentiary with Bobby Beausoleil and the I-5 killer and the Happy Face killer to, like, minimum security prisons with, you know, army barracks and 110 guys in the same room 24 hours a day. Did not even fucking hear of one rape and saw maybe three fights. You know, you'd look up from your bunk and you'd see the chairs flying. It's, oh, you know, he didn't pay up or something. I mean, the only people who got shit in prison were sex offenders. And that also struck me as weird because the same way society views criminals, prisoners kind of would all stigmatize the sex offenders. I mean, I think if there's one theme in my writing, it's guilt projection. That's the constant through everything. And yeah, when somebody's loud about something, to me, red flags go up. One thing when I was researching the rape issue, and again, I'm not a neurosurgeon, but they'd done some research. Some of these guys, neurologically, cognitively, seem to actually think when people say no, they're just being playful. And maybe I'll give them the benefit. Maybe that's the case. Who the fuck knows? But I just think that...
Well, that's why you had that post-punk band, No Means Rape, right? Wasn't that...
No Means Rape. The rape issue was done in this climate in the early 90s where radical feminism was just insane with the riot girl thing. I've had maybe two dozen chicks tell me at different points in my life that they have fantasies of being raped. And of guys just coming in on a steed and taking them. They can't control themselves. They're so overwhelmed with lust. I've never, even in prison with, you know, at this one minimum place, I think like 60% of the guys were sex offenders. I've never heard one of them ever say he wanted to rape anybody. So that's one of the reasons I did the rape issue. It's like, you're telling me I want to rape you, but I don't? Like, to me, the point that was driven home with the obscenity trial over the rape issue is these people were trying to put me in jail for not thinking the way they did. Is that not about power and controlling someone else? I could disagree with, you know, 99% of the world all day and all night. It's like, okay, go home and, you know, sleep in your bed. I don't want to control them.
Yeah. A deserted warehouse on the outskirts of town. And a ticking bomb spells trouble for Batman and Robin.
Holy breaking and entering, it's Batgirl.
Quick, Batgirl, untie us before it's too late.
It's already too late. I've worked for you a long time and I'm paid less than Robin.
Holy discontent.
Same job, same employer means equal pay for men and women.
No time for jokes, Batgirl.
It's no joke. It's the federal equal pay law.
Holy act of Congress.
Can we talk about this later?
Will Batgirl save the dynamic duo? Will she get equal pay? Tune in tomorrow or contact the Wage and Hour Division listed in your phone book under the U.S. Department of Labor.
Driving man, 6 foot solid from the ground. When I was a schoolboy, teacher said study hard as you can. It didn't make no difference. I'm just a hard work driving man.
Like You Want keeps rolling along. We are in the middle of this Jim Goad marathon. Heard a couple of tunes, though, squeezed in between Prison Sex by Tool, and that last one right there is Hard Working Man by Captain Beefheart. Decent segue in our next segment here, where Jim talks about the demise of the working class in this ever-growing world that we live on.
Workers are largely irrelevant at this point. Technology is to the point where a lot of people who were really needed to do menial work aren't anymore. I think that's going to be a fucking gigantic social problem, because I don't think the people who manage our world and our economy have really taken any of that into account. You can't just put people at the plow anymore if you can get robots to do it. It's not going to happen. There was an article on Tacky Mag a couple months ago where in the olden times it was the peasants who did all the work while the elite just sat around and filed their nails. In the future, it might be just a small cabal of super geniuses doing all the work, and the peasants are pretty idle because there's nothing for them to do.
Well, I wouldn't object to that. Would you object to that? I mean, I'm fine with that.
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the spreadsheet where that's going to be, you know, favorite progressive term is sustainable.
Right.
I don't know if that's sustainable. Who the fuck knows? My sense is we've maxed out on population, and there might only be one way to go, and that's down. And that's not to be construed as advocating culling the herd or anything, but I think that just might be how things pan out. I'm not very optimistic about this century. Back in the 70s, a huge plank of the liberal platform was zero population growth.
Which actually was a very good idea, and unfortunately was abandoned for them because it was a political loser. But
it still
makes a lot of sense.
Well, there was the uncomfortable fact was most of the population increase is in the third world, and where people are already in horrible conditions, and oh, Jesus Christ, if you want to talk about human capital, a lot of them aren't the brightest individuals in the world either. That's problematic. So I think the curse of this, the scarlet R, racism, discouraged a lot of talking about overpopulation because the people who were really ballooning out of control were what Eric Holder and historically persecuted classes or protected classes, something along those lines. That's my theory, at least, for why the left really stopped talking about overpopulation.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the police. I'm asking you to disperse. The supply of toilet paper has been exhausted.
If only people could drink, our world wouldn't be so overcrowded. Bring ourselves down to size. There'd be so much more food to go around. Well, I was on the first day. We're falling behind the industries. We put a man on the moon. We're gonna need more room to breathe real soon. Oh. Drink the vaccine and let's drink. Make approval so it doesn't lead us. The roads will be so wide. No traffic jams, but we're half a foot tall. Bring what you need down here. We'll shrink it all by microwave. The world of them like dinosaurs. We'll have enough resources. Make a big trick. Meanwhile, we'll keep acting big. We rub and reel for people who says we have to go to. Time to make a business plan. We're exempted from the oven. As if you weren't already. The rest of you are all on the device now. Oh.
When I got out of prison, I was going to run for mayor of Portland. My entire platform was going to be, I'm sorry. And I would bring everyone because they can hate me as long as they all came together to hate me. And that was going to be the platform. But I, you know, after all this, you know, like, what's going to happen next? I'm going to be walking down the street and a child's going to accidentally fall out of a burning building into my arms and this is going to redeem me? Like, what's it going to be? Maybe the brain tumor? Maybe that I was, that I'd fucking step in front of a train for? Who knows? I do think people need incentive. I think people need to compete. I think a lot of these people are just entitled, and they're fucking lazy. It's astounding how lazy young kids are these days. I mean, I deal with them.
Jim, I'm getting an image of you standing on your lawn waving something. Kids today, they're so lazy.
They are, and you know, a lot of people my age, a lot of people, I you know, people are on fucking medication and on welfare. So many people I know. I'm on neither, and I fucking...
Well, wait a minute, you smoke herb, Jim. That's a drug, too. That's what my mom says, anyway.
But yeah, I've done every drug possible. I'm more ethically opposed to prescription psychoactive drugs, especially antidepressants and painkillers, because I've seen them fucking destroy people, except for maybe Pig Champion.
Rest in peace, Pig Champion. We better play some Poison Idea. This is Radio Like You Want.
Really special. I can't slow down. I gotta deal with the devil. Dude, say, leave it in the mud, just to get away. Not gonna listen to what you say, leave it in the mud, just to get away. Can't stand myself for another day, leave it in the mud, just to get away.
Nothing but a two-bit lying, cheating, law-breaking trucker.
I got a cute little gal in every eastern town, from Boston to St. Louis. There's some that I don't even know, but I'm looking forward to, cause I like my women everywhere I go. So roll on, make wheels, don't you roll so slow. Big Ann is waiting in Memphis, and Betty Lou in Maine. I got a good old gal in Knoxville, but man, I forgot her name, but not her figure. I remember that. Yeah, I'm a kiss stealing, a wheeling dealing, a truck driving son of a gun. Up his time, but from where I sit, I don't believe you'd say I'm wasting mine. I'm moving faster than a Jimmy 8. If you think I'm losing time, you're running late. I got a steady little baby waiting back home for me. There are six more towns to go till I'm back in Tennessee. Six more women, at least I know. Yeah, I'm a kiss stealing, a wheeling dealing, truck driving son of a gun.
All right, we're back with Jim Goad. Jim, you're a big country music fan, not surprising. I know recently you did a little singing. Tell me about it.
Boyd Rice got control over some small segment of some British independent label and offered free albums, like all his friends could do albums. And we were friendly at the time, and I was obsessed with truck driving music from the 60s, like Dave Dudley and Red Sovine. A friend had made tapes on it. Turns out he got them from Jello Biafra, who was also obsessed with truck driving music. And like, okay, you know, on the heels of the Raid issue and publishing Peter Sotis, I'm just going to confuse the shit out of people and do these kind of sincere homages to this trucking music I like. And we spent $1,100, spent a day and a half in the studio, and put up 14 covers of songs.
Didn't you put a gay spin on it? Didn't you do a comic book? It was Gay Truckers or something?
I've done a bunch of trucker things. There was a comic book, Trucker Fags in Denial. Basically, two middle-aged, obese, homely men who can't get laid, and they're obsessed with fags. They wind up...
So is this autobiographical, Jim?
Not at this point, not yet. I mean, being in prison, I just started to get amused with how often guys call each other fags. You know, that's what it sends up, red flags anyway. And, you know, just this early fat guy with a crew, hey, you fag. It's like, so basically, that I had Jim Blanchard draw them as I remembered these convicts, and they get so lonely one night they're forced to share the same bed in a hotel room, and they take their dentures out and 69ing and fisting, and but also they can't really deal with it, so they go on like a gay killing spree. And somehow they rim where they're having gay sex and killing gay people, and they're somehow they get through it all at the end.
Is this tied in with the music though? Is the record tied in? The
gay? No, not except for the truck theme, no tie in at all. No, but nothing happened with that album until 12 years later. Hank Williams III heard it, and I went on tour with him as his opening act in 2007. Which I just accepted as a George Clinton kind of challenge, because I never wanted to be a musician. I did that album as a joke. It was like, oh, a singer? Okay, yeah, fuck you, I'm a singer. And so we did 5 weeks, and I'll never do anything like that again. But there was an Australian filmmaker who's in town today, and he had me sing a Waylon Jennings song in front of Stone Mountain while filming me. He tried flying me into Australia in 2006, but due to the felony record, I got held up in Honolulu and turned back.
Thank you. I'm broke, I never had no cash. Everybody calls me poor trash. Lived in the swamp all my days, fished in the bayou for my pay. Well, the company man, he came my way. Company man stole my gal away. Well, the poor white trash, not a nickel in my jeans. Poor white trash, don't know what love means. Poor white trash, never had no fun. Poor white trash, ain't got no one. In the swamps I live, in the swamps I'll die. For poor white trash, no one will cry. Well, poor white trash, not a nickel in my jeans. Poor white trash, don't know what love means. Poor white trash, never had no fun. Poor white trash, ain't got no one. In the swamps I live, in the swamps I'll die. For poor white trash, no one will cry. No one will cry.
Jim Goad, you can catch him on TakiMag, TakiMag.com. You can pick up the Redneck Manifesto, Shit Magnet, old copies of Answer Me, and whatever else you can find by the master. So where are you going now, Jim? What's the next Goad project that we're going to look forward to?
Well, I think I'll probably anthologize stuff I've written for Tacky. I mean, Answer Me number 5 was supposed to be the race issue. And maybe it'll finally take shape, and I'll hammer out a race book. A lot of it's semantics, you know, sexism. When women say they hate men, that's not sexism. Well, yeah, it is. Especially when you generalize, of course it is. And it's the same thing with race. I mean, or what constitutes racism? The same people who scream about racism are the same people who are supporting La Raza and, you know, groups with the word black in their name. It's like, okay, you know, I'd be fine if we all agreed to just drop the group identity bullshit and the tribalism, or just let everybody identify with whatever fucking. I mean, don't demonize one group for taking pride and laud another for doing the exact same thing. And I compare it to Victorianism. I think there is such a thing as a tribal instinct. Against my better wishes, when I read Timothy Leary's jail notes and he talked about how he was pretty much kidnapped and treated like a slave by the Black Panthers when he was in northern, I think it was Algeria. Part of me resisted that because it's like, no, if black people had power, they wouldn't be corrupt and have. But yeah, it finally occurred to me. It was one day on a block, on a corner in East L.A. It occurred to me that a lot of these oppressed people had any power, they'd be as big as assholes as the people who do have power. That's what I believe in. The equality that I believe in is that everyone has, if given the opportunity, has equal potential to be an asshole.
You can pick up the Redneck Manifesto, Shit Magnet, old copies of Answer Me, and whatever else you can find by the master, Jim Goad.
Jim Goad.
Jungle, fighting for survival, but there's no place to go.
to feel it, Mike Ruffier. I want to thank Jim Goad for sharing his pearls of nasty wisdom.
Yeah, quite a crazy interview you did with. Good job on that, Blag. Nice job there chatting with Jim Goad. Heard a couple songs by him. Big Red Goad, Poured White Trash. We heard Red Sovine in there. All these kind of crazy truck driving songs. Hit up our website to get the full set list at RadioLikeYouWant.com. It's got all the podcasts, everything you need to know about us, including our number.
415-315-9662. Call me up. Leave us a message. And you can hit us on email, interviews@RadioLikeYouWant.com.
Don't forget, every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, Punk Radio Cast premieres our new episodes. You can catch them again Monday, 10 p.m. Pacific Time on Louver. Hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. And next week, we got the one and only Spikes Lawson.
Spike, say goodbye to the people. We're getting out of here.
Goodbye.
Oh, Spike
Lawson. Till next week, Spike.
He's here before he's here. That's how we do on
it's
Radio
so
Like You Want.
Crazy.
Greedy Worldwide.